switch here to the wireless mic. I might be running out of batteries, Bert. You got an extra power of batteries back there? He's blinking at me. Okay. Well, let's just stick to the pulpit mic. I'm on now, but it's going to go out in the middle, so I don't want to do that. So let's do this. Let's just get the pulpit mic.
Okay, this one off and get some more batteries for it.
There we go. All right. If you would be turning your Bibles to John 4, John chapter 4, verse 46. If you would stand in honor of God's Word, if you're able. This is probably going to be a three-part series. I'll probably finish it up next Sunday night. I believe I can get it all in. This is pretty much a deep introductory that we're doing tonight. But we'll give you some meat tonight on this and why a Christian should abstain from alcohol, period. And I'm going to show you beyond any doubt, this is not going to be Brother Jeff's opinion. This is going to be all biblical. And I'm going to show you beyond a doubt. Because that's what proved it to me. When I studied wines in the Bible, I said, it's a no-brainer. God does not want us to drink, period. He doesn't want us to drink alcohol, amen. And anybody that says that, oh, it's okay for Christians to drink alcohol, they have not studied this out. And I'm just telling you, either they haven't studied it out, or they have studied it out and they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to know because they want to keep drinking. Their sin is greater than the light, amen. John 4:46 says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made the water wine. Made the water wine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day, God. Lord, I just pray you illuminate the minds, Father, through the Holy Spirit of God. Anyone here tonight that may believe that drinking is okay for a Christian, help them not to harden their heart. Help them to be open to the Word of God. Not Brother Jeff's opinion, but the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And as you've defined this in Scripture of what wine is. And Lord, I just pray, God, right now, if there's anyone here that's lost, that tonight might be the night of salvation, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now let me start off right here with this first. Before we get into all the Scripture, I want you to understand something right off the bat. Is that Satan is always trying to corrupt what God has done. Can we all agree on that? Yeah, amen? Yeah. Yes. Not only that, but Satan wants to corrupt definitions. He wants to corrupt the English language. He wants to get it to where when you see a word, it looks like something else because it's defined differently in our age than it was back then. Amen?
Amen.
For instance, the word gay meant happy.
Right. That's right.
Many years ago. Now you say the word gay and they don't think happy, they think of a reprobate lifestyle, right?
Yes, sir.
So there's words that we use today that are much different, amen, than they were back then. And I could use a few more examples, but for the sake of time, we won't. You understand the point I'm trying to make. So let me state this. You know, there were dictionaries before Webster's dictionary. I don't know if you knew that or not. The 1828 dictionary, which is Webster's, it used the King James, and it talked about archaic words, okay? And it would use those words and define those, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the dictionaries of the time, there were dictionaries shortly after 1611. The first one was in 1708. It was called the General English Dictionary. And here's what it defined wine as. It says, wine, and before you say, oh, see, liquor, wait a minute. Wine, a liquor made of the juice of grapes or of other fruits. Now you say, oh, there's liquor, that's alcohol. No. Liquor was defined during that time as this. Anything that is liquid. A drink, a juice, a sweet wine newly pressed from the grape. That's what the definition of liquor was back then. Now you say liquor, you're talking about Jack Daniels, you're talking about all these other things, right?
Right.
So it's changed. Okay, so you can't read the Bible and see the word liquor and go, oh, I can drink my Jack Daniels. Or see the word wine and go, oh, I can have a glass of wine at night. You can't do that. Also, it says over in 1730, the Bailey's Dictionary. Listen to what it says. It says, natural wine as such as comes from the grape without any mixture or sophistication. And that sophistication means that man's added something to it. You've got to add yeast and sugar to it to make it alcoholic.
Right?
Listen, when it's on the vine and it falls off the vine, it does not become alcohol.
Right.
It rots. It rots.
Right.
The natural process is rotting. It's not, hey, I'm going to produce alcohol so you can get drunk. See, God did not produce alcohol.
Right.
It's a man-made product. Amen.
Right.
1748, Benjamin Martin's New English Dictionary says, the juice of the grape. A liquor, and again it defines liquor as a liquid, a water, a juice, or drink extracted from other fruits besides the grape. So the word wine was not being associated with alcohol after 1611, even into the 1700s.
Right.
It wasn't associated. But you know what the devil did? He's crafty. Get a dictionary today and look up wine and see what it tells you. Look up liquor and see what it tells you. Amen. He's got it where it's all under alcohol now. So when a Christian reads the Bible, they go, oh, it's okay. Right? Now, the main word in the Hebrew for wine is translated as yain. Y-A-Y-I-N. Now, I've heard some Hebrew scholars, and I do not claim to be a Hebrew scholar by no means. I've taken some Hebrew, taken some Greek, but I like to preach the Word of God. I don't really like to get into the word studies, but I've heard some pronounce it yain, okay, which may or may not be, don't care. The point is, this is the word, okay? So here's the definition of the word yain. Well, listen, I'm going to give you 9 definitions. 9. Listen, this is the Hebrew definitions. 1, grapes in the cluster on the vine. That was called yain, wine. Dried grapes or raisins. Okay? The juice in the grapes still hanging on the vine. The freshly expressed and unfermented juice of the grape. Grape juice that is boiled to avoid fermentation so it can be bottled for storage. The juice boiled until it becomes a thick syrup so it can be kept for future use. The juice cooked into a thicker jam to be kept for future use. And then 8, listen to this, was mixed with water or milk for drinking. This is called the stomach wine. Remember, it says over in 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. A little wine. You know what that word wine is right there? It's referring to this stomach wine. What was it? It was a paste. Today we would look at it as like a Kool-Aid. You mix Kool-Aid in with your water, it's a powder, right? And it tastes like cherry or grape or whatever, right? Well, what they had is it wasn't fermented. What it was, it was a paste. It was almost like a jelly, and they kept it stored. And what they would do is they would take this paste and they would mix it with water. And we'll get into this next week, but there was a base there in the water that made you sick. And if you'd mix this in, it would take care of that and you wouldn't get sick. But it's not alcoholic.
That's right.
It's not alcoholic. But a lot of people say, see, a little wine so I can have a drink every now and then. No, you can't. That's not what the Word of God teaches. Amen.
Right.
It does not teach that. In fact, alcohol hurts the stomach. It doesn't help. In fact, if you got an ulcer, and if you have an ulcer, the first thing your doctor is going to tell you is don't drink any alcohol.
Right.
Why? Because it's bad for you. It's poison. Amen.
Right.
It doesn't improve your body. You say, well, I can get all these antioxidants out of wine. It's the same thing that's in grape juice.
Yeah,
you just want a drink, amen? Let's just be honest about it while we're here. Listen to the nine. Here's the ninth. I've given you 8 definitions that had nothing to do with fermentation. Here's the ninth definition. Grape juice that has been fermented and is intoxicating. So 8 of the 9 definitions in the Old Testament for that word yain had nothing to do with intoxication.
Amen.
In Nehemiah 5:18 it says, now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. This means that wine could be used in 9 different ways. You say, well, Brother Jeff, how do you know if it's alcoholic or not? The context. When yain is used in the Old Testament, it's very clear when it's used and it's alcohol. I've had people, and people are so, and I'm not trying to be mean or sound, I'm really not, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but listen, you're just ignorant if you try to use Noah and him getting drunk as an excuse for you to drink. But people do that, Berlin. They say, well, Noah drank wine. Well, look what happened. Amen? I mean, it didn't get God's blessing, and God goes, way to go, Noah, right? Now let's look, Noah drank wine, and Noah was sodomized in his tent by his own son.
Right.
You say, well, how do you know, Brother Jeff? I don't believe. I think you just looked on him. Well, let me show you something. It says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And that has a sexual implication. It says, and told his 2 brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, went backward, covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, yes, they weren't supposed to look on their father and lust after him, those type things, okay? You got to understand, they come off the ship, and come off the boat, off the ark. Now, I want you to see what happened. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. He awoke. How did he know? I'll tell you how he knew, because of what happened. Amen?
Right.
He knew something bad had happened to him. And I won't get into details, but I think you can figure it out. Amen.
Yeah.
He knew something was wrong, amen? And it said, and he cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. So we see here that the alcohol led to something that was wrong.
Right.
Made a mistake. Now, there's all type of people that defend this. They said, well, you know, it could be, I don't know. They said, well, Noah may not have known what he was doing because he come off and the world was different. There were some things going on and things aged faster, which they did because men did not live as long, right? So no doubt the grapes and things like that, there was a change in the environment, okay? So whether he meant to get drunk or not is inconsequential. It doesn't matter. The point is he got drunk and there were consequences, okay?
That's right.
Let me state this. Listen, folks, there's nothing good that comes out of alcohol.
That's right.
Nothing. Yeah. Amen? Good that comes out of alcohol. Let's look at Lot. Lot drank wine. He got drunk. It was alcoholic wine. Yane, again, the ninth definition. He got both of his daughters pregnant. Both of them. And we find that in Genesis 19, 32 through 38. And I want you to notice this. It says there, it says, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benami, which is the same, the father of children of Ammon unto this day. The Ammonites and the Moabites. Go search them out and see what a problem they were for Israel. Over and over and over and over. Always fighting, always battling, all through Scripture.
Amen.
Because of one man's decision to drink some alcohol.
Yes.
You talk to many people, and I've got some statistics I'll give here in a couple, or next week, probably the next Sunday night. But if you look statistically, you will not believe the amount of people that are in jail because of an alcoholic experience.
Right.
Because of alcohol. The amount of sin in this world, the amount of problems in this world are caused by alcohol. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Now, another word translated in the Old Testament as wine is terosh. Terosh. You find that in Proverbs 3:10. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let me state this. Alcohol is not pressed out. Alcohol is not pressed out. Pressed out, they had these big vats. They get in there with their feet. There were holes in the side, and they stepped on the grapes, and the juice ran out.
Right.
Freshly pressed wine. Amen. In this verse, we have Yain and Tirash both in the same verse, and it says, one you should drink and one you should not. Micah 6:15 says, it says, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. The sweet wine is the Tirash, and the wine that he says not to drink is the Yain. I mean, Jesus would not have told us over and over again. He wouldn't have said it. God would not have said it. God would not have said, don't drink alcohol, and then turn around and say, drink it.
Right.
That's crazy. He wouldn't tell you, don't look at it, and then say, go drink it.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
Let me read this, Proverbs 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red. When it gives this color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. He said, when it starts turning fermented, don't even look at it.
Right.
Don't even look at it. So if he's not one, really, there's probably a Christian out there who says, well, you can drink it as long as you drink it like this. Some people will do anything to justify their drinking. Amen. Something's wrong. Listen, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder.
Amen.
Why do you think God's not going to go tell you to play with a rattlesnake?
That's right.
And say, well, it's okay just to pet the snake. Just don't go too far. All right? But God says it's like an adder. That means if you get close to it, it's going to reach out and tag you. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to pull you in.
Right. That's right.
It's going to pull you down. Amen.
Yes. That's right,
brother. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Nothing good comes out of alcohol.
That's right.
Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. You're going back and forth. They have stricken me, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Not until you sober up do you realize how hurt you are.
Yeah.
You don't feel it when you're drunk.
That's right.
You say, well, Brother Jeff, I don't get drunk. I just drink a little. Well, we're getting into that. Amen. That's a sin, too. We're getting there. Amen. We're getting there. Proverbs 31:4 says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. That means if you're in a leadership position, you shouldn't be drinking. And we'll get into that next week. Pastors, you shouldn't drink. Deacons, you shouldn't drink. Amen. Period.
Amen. That's right.
And we'll get into that next week as well.
Yes.
1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore gird up your loins, and of your mind and be sober.
Amen.
It says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that we should have a sound mind. You cannot have a sober mind when it's influenced with alcohol.
That's right.
Period. You say, well, I'm not drunk. Listen, for you to have a clean and sober mind, you got to be 100%. Every sip of alcohol you take takes a percentage away from that 100%. Right? When they have you blowing something, right, and you get the breathalyzer test, if you're point whatever, you're still point for whatever drunk.
That's right.
You might not be over the limit, but you're still that drunk, that percentage of alcohol is in your system. Amen.
Amen.
Habakkuk 2:15. Now I want you to mark this one. This is very important. Habakkuk 2:15. This right here teaches very clearly Jesus could not have turned the water into alcoholic wine. Could not have, would not have, amen. Because if he did that, if you study those pots and research those pots, they were huge, and he could have got a whole team, a whole company of people drunk, which led to sin.
That's right.
Right?
That's it.
Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, that makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. If Jesus turned that water into alcoholic wine, he became a sinner the moment he did it.
Right.
And he could not pay for your sin debt on the cross. Because he violated the law in the law. If Jesus turned the water into alcoholic wine, then he sinned because he broke the law. Now, in the New Testament, the word wine, one of them, is derived from the Greek word oinos. Oinos. O-I-N-O-S. Here, this is the Hebrew equivalent to yain, okay? But here is the definitions. One is the grapes. Two, raisins. Three, non-intoxicating syrup. Four is conserve. Five is jam. Six is unfermented juice. Seven is fermented grape juice. And eight, also used to denote various kinds of drinks and confections of other fruits as well. Abbott's Dictionary of Religious Knowledge says this: fermented wine was the least common in biblical times, and the percentage of alcohol was small. Now that's important.
That's right.
It was the least common, and the alcohol percentage, and you can look all this stuff up. I'm not making this up. Look it up, Google it, right?
That's
look
right.
At the alcohol content today. Someone says, well, I can have one beer. Yeah. Compare that to the, if you want to say it was alcoholic wine every time in the Old Testament, look at the percentage that was in there. And then look at the percentage that's in there today.
Right.
Big difference. You would have to drink a lot of wine back then to equal just one glass of alcohol that somebody consumes today. Amen?
Right.
Just one. There were also wines in which, by boiling or by drugs, the process of fermentation was prevented and alcohol excluded. These were mixed with water and constituted the most common drink of the land. That is Kool-Aid! Amen? Biblical Kool-Aid!
That's right.
If you want to go to Food City and buy some Kool-Aid, mix it with water, Brother Jeff will say you're doing the right thing. But if you go down that liquor aisle, you're sinning against God. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Period.
That's right.
Period. You know, in Genesis 49, you know the story about the butler there, and he's with Joseph there in the vine. And we'll just talk about the butler tonight. But it says, and in the vine were three branches. Talks about him, the blossoms. We won't go through it all. But Pharaoh's cup was in his hand. And he says, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. What's he doing? Do you press alcohol? No. He's pressing them into his cup. He's taking the grapes. He was the butler, and he was squeezing the grape juice into Pharaoh's cup.
That's right.
Non-alcoholic. Now let me state this as well, that wine represents the blood of Christ. Alcoholic wine does not represent the blood of Christ.
That's right.
These churches that use alcohol in their services, it's a blasphemous act.
That's right.
Because when you look at the blood of Jesus Christ, it's the pure blood.
That's
the
right.
Pure blood, amen.
Yes.
The pure blood of the Lamb. Matthew 26:27 says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it, for this is blood of mine of the New Testament, which is shed for me for the remission of sins. By saying to you, I will drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. I will drink it no more.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute. Notice what Jesus said. Henceforth, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine. He didn't say, I'll drink no more of the alcohol or the strong drink.
Uh-huh.
Fruit of the vine. Jesus did not drink alcoholic wine.
Right, that's right.
And he said, at the Last Supper there, they did not have alcoholic wine.
Right.
They had grape juice, amen. And that's evident right there, amen. We know that you cannot have leaven in the sacrifices, amen? It represents sin, amen? Just like you can't have alcohol in those things. The precious blood of Christ is being talked about here. Here's another one, John 2:10. It says, "And saith unto him," this is at the marriage of Cana, "every man at the beginning does set forth good wine." People will use this to say that you can drink wine. "And when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." And people say, well, they were well drunk, they were able to drink. God get, no. That word well drunk right there is a biblical term that means satisfied, filled.
Right.
Well drunk just means they were filled. It doesn't mean they were drunk and that they were staggering around. But people say, well, they said that wine was better than what they had. So it had to be alcoholic. Who made that wine? God. God in the flesh made that wine. Now, do you not think that God, as much as, look at the universe, do you not think that He can take water and make it taste better than any wine you've ever had in your life?
That's right.
Right? What kind of wine is this? It's the one God made, amen? And it was non-alcoholic, period, amen? Period. That's all it was.
Yes.
God in the flesh. Matthew 26:29 says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine." Jesus again. Mark 14:25, He says, "I will drink no more the fruit of the vine." Right there, Jesus is saying, I don't drink alcohol. I drink grape juice, amen?
That's right.
That's what He's saying right there. Now, here's another one people use. 1 Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying. "If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine." Listen, not given to wine is what's called an idiom during that time. That means you're not to be around it, okay? You're not to be around the wine. It's like we say now, I put up with him. If somebody read that 200 years from now, I put up with him, they'll think, they stuck somebody above their head, right? Or if you said, that's over my head, that means I don't understand it, right? It's an idiom. We're not really putting something over our head, but it's telling somebody, I don't understand it, it's over my head. The same thing then, not given to wine, it was just a way of saying, don't be around it.
Right.
You say, well, what about the deacons? It says not to be given to much wine. Not much wine, right? No. So I can have a little bit of alcoholic wine. No, you're not supposed to be around it. Idiom, right? And it says don't be around much wine. It means the pastors stay totally away from it. Hey, you deacons, y'all don't be going to parties and stuff like that where it's present, amen? Don't be around it. Don't be given to it. Right?
Amen.
Don't be given to that wine, amen?
Yes.
Don't be given into it. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now here's another one. Here's another one that's been thrown at me. Jesus talking, He says, "And He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand." And well, let me back up. I just got to say this too. I'm going to get into this next week, but I got to tell y'all this too. Use some common sense. All right, why would He tell the pastor not to drink? He tells the deacons they can drink a little. Then He tells the older men not to drink. He tells the younger women not to drink. And then we'll cover a scripture next week that they try to use and say the older women can have a little. So what He's saying, Brother David, is that you and the senior women can go out and party up. I'm going to have some beer, some wine. Just as long as the pastor's not present, the older men aren't present, the younger women aren't present, you're still biblical. See how stupid that is? It's crazy, amen?
Well, I've offended Troy now.
All right. But look at what Jesus says, Matthew 15:10. "And He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." I actually had a person that's a Christian, born again Christian, look at me and say, "Well, it's not the alcohol that goes in that defiles the man. I can drink because Jesus says it doesn't defile me." Well, let's just go pop a few pills. Let's smoke some marijuana. I mean, as long as it goes in through the mouth, it's okay, right? No! I mean, look at verse 20 in Matthew 15. He says, "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defiles no man." Jesus is talking about eating. He's not talking about taking drugs and drinking alcohol. He's talking about eating meat and eating salads and stuff like that, and they're arguing over that, and they're arguing over washing your hands, and they're saying, hey, they don't wash the hands. And Jesus is saying, well, hey, it's not the germs that go in that defile me. Right?
Right.
Now, it's sanitary to wash your hands, but it doesn't make you a sinner. Amen.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Boy, oh boy. You know, you got to be careful. Careful with those things. I know of a pastor, and he went out to eat, and if anybody orders a drink, and they're with me, or eat, I don't go out to eat with anybody that I think would order a drink. And if they do, I tell them I'm not going to sit there if they do. And I'll get up and leave. I don't care if it's a party of 20 people. All right? Doesn't matter.
That's right.
I had a pastor friend of mine that didn't drink, but he went to a family function. There's about 20 people in his family, and the guy in front of him ordered a beer, and he set it halfway across the table, and they were all making pictures, and they posted these pictures on Facebook, and guess what was sitting in front of my pastor friend with him grinning? A big beer right there. And it looked like it was his. It didn't look like it was the guy across from him. You know what? You shouldn't put yourself in those situations. Amen. Listen, Romans 14:20 says this, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, and this can carry over, nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. We should not do anything that causes our brother to stumble. You say, well, Brother Jeff, that right there is talking about alcoholic wine. We shouldn't drink wine. No. What it's talking about is anything that looks evil, you shouldn't do.
Amen.
Now, I want to ask you something. If you see me out in a restaurant and I have grape juice in a wine glass, are you going to think it's grape juice?
No.
You're going to stumble. Yeah. What he's saying there is he's saying, guys, don't even drink grape juice out here. They're going to think it's alcoholic.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Don't drink wine. Don't drink oinos. Don't drink it unless you know that nobody's going to be in.
Yes, God.
Right.
I would never drink grape juice out in public. I wouldn't. I like it at the house, grape juice, but I wouldn't drink, and especially if it's in a glass that looks like it's wine. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Nothing that would cause your brother to stumble. Amen. Ezekiel 44:21 says, neither shall any priest drink wine. In Leviticus 10:9, they are commanded, priests, not to drink wine. The Nazarite vow, priests, they're commanded not to drink strong drink, not to drink alcoholic wine. I got a question for you. Are you a priest?
Yes.
Revelation 1:6 says, and hath made us kings.
Kings.
And priests. I've already read you the verse that said the king should abstain from wine, that priests should abstain from wine. So what are you doing drinking it when you're a king and you're a priest? Amen?
Amen.
Abstain from it. Abstain from it.
Yes.
I mean, people who believe that every time the Bible mentions wine that's alcoholic are willingly ignorant. I mean, the 2 Peter 3:5 tells us, for this they are willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Some people just don't want to know the truth. John 3:19 says they love darkness rather than light. Amen? Now here's a question for you. Does alcohol cause a lot of evil in this world?
Yes.
You have drunk drivers that kill people. You do. You have families destroyed by alcohol.
You do.
You have people that beat up their wives, beat them to a pulp over alcohol.
Right.
Amen. You have people lose their jobs, cannot support their family. And listen, by the way, folks, it all starts with one drink.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You don't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to be an alcoholic. No, it starts by drinking socially.
Right.
And then it progresses. So let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks bad, then abstain from it. So here's the question. Is alcohol bad? Yes. Every person you can think of that's in sin and that's wicked, just about every one of them, has some level of alcohol that they partake in.
Right.
Some kind of mind-altering drug, something going on, amen. Alcohol is associated with this world and with the wickedness of this world. It has no place in the Christian's life.
That's right.
One more thing before we go. Right up here, this church covenant. We're going to get more into this next week too. But that church covenant says, if you're a member of Valley View Baptist Church, you made a vow to God when you come down here and said, I wanted to join this church. You made a vow to God that you're going to agree with this church covenant, which says that you would abstain from the sale and the use of intoxicating beverages. Right?
Amen.
Boy, got quiet on that one.
We signed a contract? I didn't know that.
You did. When you made a vow to God. Amen.
That's right.
You made a vow to God.
That's right.
Should have told me that, Brother Jeff.
Amen. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing.